Well, last week we did start into a new sermon series that I've entitled Godly Responses When Things Go Bad. You know, things can go bad in life in many different forms. It can happen in many different fashions. And sometimes, let's face it, things go bad because of our own making. We do it ourselves. We cause things to occur in life. But then there's others that go bad simply because of circumstances that are outside our control. But oftentimes I think it's a combination of the two together. How do we handle life when things go bad? And more importantly, what is the godly way to respond? What is the godly way to handle life when things go bad? Well, we're studying how the prophet Habakkuk dealt with the destruction of Jerusalem. He was given a prophecy by God that Jerusalem would be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And Habakkuk loved that city. And the destruction had not occurred yet, but he was assured by God of its coming. Last week we saw that we need to relate the matter to God. That means take the issue to God. And we do it by way of worship, worshiping God. And within that we need to pray unto God. We need to tell him about our problems. We need to tell him about our stresses and strains. But also we've got to come to a point when we relate the matter to God that we release the problem to him also. And this week is part of that releasing step. I call today, recognize your own weaknesses. You know, some of you may have already raised your defenses at that. Recognize your own weaknesses. Let's face it, admitting weakness is not a strong human suit. We don't want people to know that we are weak in something. We don't want people to know that we have had failure in our life along the way. We don't want people to know that we have problems. And you know the real sad part about that is? That's part of the reason why God gave us each other as the Christian family. To be able to share when those problems come. To pick each other up when failures occur within life. Actually, what we need is the attitude of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor is a missionary, earliest missionary to China. And I think he knew the secret about being strong through weakness. He was complimented by a friend one day of the impact of his mission work in China. And this is how Hudson Taylor answered that. He said, "It seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find a man who was weak enough to do his work. And when he at last found me, he said, 'He's weak enough. He'll do.' All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them." Then we have pastor and Christian author A.W. Tozer. He said this comment. He said, "If the truth were known, the saints of God in every age were only effective after they have been wounded." Only after they have been wounded. I mean, think about what these two men of faith said. All God's giants have been weak men. Effective saints are those who have been wounded. But yet we think weakness, vulnerability means ineffectiveness. And we hide our weaknesses, we hide our problems, or else at least we deny them in this life. But in Christ, our weaknesses and our wounds are the starting point for God working in us and through us. It's the starting point of us making godly responses when something has gone wrong. So how do we normally choose to handle things, though? How do we normally choose to handle things in life when they've gone bad? How do we humanly respond in our weakness? Pride. Pride. Our natural reaction is to be prideful. We don't want others to know our struggles. We don't want our spouses to know our struggles, they may look at us in a pitiful manner, we think. But look what the psalmist said about humans and pride. Psalm 10:4 says, "In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God." See, the proud person does not seek God. Matter of fact, there's no room in the proud person's life for God at all. Why is that true? Because pride means I'm in charge, doesn't it? It means I'm the one in charge. Jesus can't be Lord of your life as long as you're in charge. I'm so full of myself, there's no room for God. There's no space for God. Oh, some people, you know, maybe put on godly airs, and in many ways they're pride in the midst of their godly airs, but they're really not being used of God because they still don't have room for God. They just look that way. God says, if you're the one in charge, you don't want his power. You don't want his strength. Maybe the question is, do you feel the power and strength of God this morning? And if you don't, maybe you need to examine whether pride has crept into your life. Pride means I have to be strong on my own. Pride turns us into fools, according to that verse. Listen to what Habakkuk, his second response to God was. And remember, his first was relating or taking the matter, the problem to God. Well, chapter 3, verse 2. He says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." Well, do you hear too much pride there? I mean, he says, "I've heard of your fame, not mine. I stand in awe of your deeds, God, not my deeds." And he says, "Make your deeds known unto me, God. Help me to understand them further. And in your wrath, God, please give us mercy." I mean, does that sound like someone who is prideful or wanting things their own way? But now look at the second verse this morning, verse 16, chapter 3, 16. He says, "I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us." Now, unless that ending part, before I talk about the beginning part, the ending part there, he's waiting for the day that calamity is going to come upon the Babylonians, and the Babylonians haven't even invaded Jerusalem yet, but he knows God's going to take care of the situation. But first, there's that problem of Jerusalem. He says, "I heard and my heart pounded." Habakkuk is so weak right now with this problem that's coming his way that his heart is just pounding in his chest. He says that his lips are quivering, his legs are trembling, they're so weak. He said his bones feel like they're decaying from within. Let's face it, Habakkuk's a mess right now. He's a mess. He knows bad things are coming. He knows his beloved city is about to be destroyed, and it's just affecting his entire being. And he realizes that his response now, though, is to give it over to God, give it over to the one who's really in control of the situation. He's gone so far as to look down the road to see when Jerusalem would be back and Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon would be destroyed. But he's related this matter to God. He's taken it to God. And now he knows his weakness and just who is strong. And I can tell you, it ain't him who's strong. Have you ever faced with a problem and felt the way that Habakkuk is feeling in this? Maybe your heart starts to pound when that problem comes. Maybe your lips start to quiver. Maybe your legs get weak. You know, do you feel dead on the inside? I mean, I tell you, I've felt problems like that before. I've seen problems that in some ways what they do with me sometimes is make me shake on the inside as if I'm freezing cold. The room can be as warm as can be, but it's like it's cold to me and I'm shaking inside. Since pride is the wrong response in our weaknesses, what's the correct one? How should we respond in our weakness? Well, of course, it's humility. Humility. Listen to what Peter, one who knew many problems in his walk with Jesus Christ, some of them he caused on his own, others that were thrust upon him, what he had to say about humility. 1 Peter 5, beginning with verse 5, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. And then he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Our humility is to be worn like a set of clothes. Our humility is to always have an outward appearance to it. You know, we talk about a humble heart, and Peter say, no, it's much further than that. Humility, yes, is very deep. It's so deep that it oozes outward, and it comes out through every pore of us, so much so that others will see our humility as if we're wearing it as an outer appearance, as if it is the clothing we wear. The outside world needs to see our humility. But he tells us that when we choose the route of humility, when we make that decision that becomes our outer clothing, what the world sees of us, our humility in God, God will lift us up. God will bring us up in his timing. God will strengthen us in the midst of our weakness when the right time occurs. And if we cannot recognize our weakness in humility, what does he say? We're opposed by God. We're opposed by God. The verse says, God opposes the proud. Is pride worth it to be on the opposite side of God? Is it really worth it? You want to know the right way whether someone is out of tune with God? Are they full of pride? Are they full of pride? Oh, it could come in stubbornness and always being an accusing type person. They might be always hurt about something, but it's always about pride. Are they full of pride? If they're full of pride, they're in opposition to God. But once again, he says he strengthens the humble. He strengthens those who know they are weak. They are weak when their problems come and they're humble enough to admit it. In the midst of their problems. If you feel you've been wronged, or you're in the midst of a conflict, Peter reminds us to be humble, not proud. Pride is me lifting myself up and making excuses in life. And Peter says, even if you've been wronged, go the route of humility. Because when you're humble, he said, there'll come a day when God will lift you up. God will lift you up. Well, would you rather be elevated by yourself, by other people, or would you rather be elevated by God? When we are making our godly responses during bad situations, our problems in life, we must recognize our weaknesses. And recognizing our weaknesses is a humble offering, a humble sacrifice to God because it shows us, it shows Him. That I understand I'm not in charge, God. You're in charge. You're the one in charge. And then in humility, we can find strength in Him. Well, let me share with you some strength factors of God that are found in humility. What are those things that we draw from God in the midst of our humility, in the midst of our weakness? One of them is I call the omniscience factor. Omniscience factor. Simply put, God knows all things. God knows all things. There's nothing he does not know. Okay, your knowledge, my knowledge, we can take everybody's knowledge in this room today and lump it all together in one big bucket, and it's going to still be a drop in the bucket compared to God's knowledge. And wouldn't I want to draw from the knowledge of God working in my life? Wouldn't I want to mainline to God, tap into His knowledge base? Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Pride is like a barrier to the knowledge of God in our lives. Pride keeps knowledge away from us, or keeps His knowledge as surface head knowledge. Now, there's plenty of people that have knowledge of God, but it's just head knowledge, and they're very prideful about their head knowledge. Humility opens my life up to His wisdom, though. It opens up to our heart so that instead of being head knowledge, it becomes heart knowledge of Him. Head knowledge people are always legalistic. They're always concerned that everybody follows the rules to their satisfaction. Heart knowledge people, though, are concerned with different issues. They're concerned with love and mercy and grace. Heart knowledge people are concerned with what God says is important, to love the Lord your God and to love others as yourself. God's omniscience, His all-knowing is so that we can live it out in heart knowledge in this life, in relationship with others and with Him. Then there's the instrumental factor. What does that actually mean? I'm willing to be an instrument of God. He's the potter, I'm the clay, and the clay does not tell the potter how to live, what to do with him. It's the potter who's in charge. The clay is just the instrument or the vessel used in the very hands of God to mold and shape us. And only through humility do we become usable to God. Paul had something debilitating his physical being. There's all sorts of thoughts of what it is. And some say it's about eyesight. Some say it's about other things. But we know that Paul asked three different times to have that debilitating issue removed from his life. But within it became more important to Paul that he become God's instrument in the midst of his weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. "But he said to me," that is, God said to me, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You think Paul thinks strength comes through weakness? He knows it. He lived it. Paul wanted to be used of God, an instrument of God, even if it meant suffering in his life. Humility means not being Lord, but letting God use me in my weakness. Then there's the maturation factor, that is maturity. God often uses the valleys and the trials of our problems to expose our weaknesses, but most important to it, not just to expose the weakness, but then to turn around and mature us. I mean, how often have you come to the end of a very troubling time in life, a difficult moment in life, and you look back on it and you realize just how the Lord brought you through and how you have grown in the midst of that situation? Oh, it looked hopeless. You were in dire need of help, and the Lord was there to help walk you through. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." Yeah, I am nowhere near where God wants me to be in life. I'm nowhere near where God is taking me on this journey and my maturity factor in Him. Oh, I'm hoping that I'm closer today than I was 5 years ago. But I also know I fall, I fail, and I need a lot more maturing in life. And whether my sufferings come because of my own doing or whether it's because of an outside force upon me, outside sources, if I stay strong in the Holy Spirit, that suffering will move over to perseverance. Oh, not persevering in my strength. Persevering in God's strength. And that perseverance in God's strength then takes me over to character. Building my character. Moving my character forward. Not because of my own doing, but because God is enhancing and building upon my character. And that character moves to hope. Not hope in me, but hope in knowing how Jesus is constantly changing me to something better. The last factor is the omnipotence factor. God is all-powerful. Where we have weaknesses, He has no weakness. He is all-powerful. The psalmist writes in Psalm 66:3, "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you." And then Isaiah 40:26 says, "Lift your eyes, look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, calls them each by name, because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." To be a part of God's power, His omnipotence, we have to recognize our weakness. We have to recognize our limitations first. Listen to this quote from Chuck Swindoll. He says, "Every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems." Is that how you look at problems? Do you look at problems as opportunities to prove God's power? Do you look at problems as golden opportunities? I would say we probably have to confess at times, no, we don't. No, we don't. Or do they, as he also said, do they seem like insurmountable situations to us? And that's because we're not relying on God's power. We're relying on our own. The answer is whether we are living in pride or living in humility with our problems. Are you ready to move forward in godly responses when things go bad? First, as we saw, we need to take the problem, that bad situation, that thing that's going on in our lives, to God. Take it to Him. We've got to relate it to Him. Take it to Him. And then we've got to lay it on His holy lap. Place it on God's holy lap and let it go. Then you can take the next step and recognize that you're weak and you need God's help. And as Hudson Taylor said, all God's giants have been weak men and women who depended on God to work through them. In our weaknesses, God's strength can be seen. You know, Brandon came several months ago to share his testimony with me about what happened. And I was just looking for the perfect Sunday. And I saw this as I was going to be talking today about this and how God strengthened him and guided him through that. And if God can guide him through that situation, He can guide us through any situation in our lives, no matter what's going on. He can take us through that. He can guide us. And I don't know what problems, what difficulties you're dealing with. Maybe it's family, maybe it's work, maybe it's personal. I don't know. But God's there. And we just need to be humble in His presence and draw from His strength. But see, there may be someone here who has the greatest weakness of all going on in their lives, and that is they're trying to save themselves. They're trying to save themselves for eternity. They think that if they do all the proper things, if they do all these good works, if whatever, that God will just let them in heaven. But that's not how it works, because God says it's in my strength you're saved, not in your strength that you're saved. And being in God's strength means we depend upon Jesus Christ. We're humble enough to depend upon Jesus Christ. And we're humble enough to say, yes, God, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. And Father, I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, is your Son, and that he died on the cross for me, and he took my sins on that cross. And I believe that, and now I confess that with my mouth, and I commit to following Jesus Christ and find newness in life, abundant life here on this planet, and life to come eternally. And maybe that's where you are today. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, never made that step, or just want to know more about it, during our time of commitment, come and share that with me, and we can talk more about afterwards or whatever you'd like to do at this point. But be open to his calling. But whatever, maybe there's other problems that you need to just share unto God now and say, God, I got to let them go. I got to let it go to you. Whatever God's laid on your heart, be open to his call. Let me go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, thank you that you know that even though you created us, that yes, we are weak vessels, and that we are problem type people where problems arise so often in our lives. But yet, Lord, you were loving enough and caring enough that you said, I want to be there with you. I want to take you through those problems. I want to give you strength in those times, but you've got to come humbly to me. And Lord, I pray if there's any that are struggling right now with bad situations in life, that they, Lord, will turn them over to you this day in the midst of humility. And Lord, I pray for others that maybe someone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will make that commitment today unto you and turn their lives over to you. Lord, guide us now in this time. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.